Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. I am Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Just scroll down on my page, and you can see I've interviewed everyone from writers, directors, celebrity bodyguards, etc. Well, today I'm interviewing jurist and author Cinema Dave Montalbano. He's been a jurist for the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival and recently a program committee person for Palm Beach International Film Festival. And I think we have him on the line. Let's just check right now.
Here I is.
Okay, Dave, there you are. Okay, great. Thanks for being on the show. And I understand that, I think it was Friday, you just moderated something at the Cinema Paradiso. They had a showing of a movie called The Lady about Nobel Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi. I hope I pronounced that right. Followed by a Q&A.
Aung San Suu Kyi.
I'm sorry?
Aung San Suu Kyi.
Okay, great. And that was followed by a Q&A by artist and activist Jim McNallis. Tell us, why is this film so important? It's getting a lot of buzz, and the whole situation is getting a lot of press. So tell us a little bit about it and why it's getting so much press.
Well, the reason why is because the story of Aung San Suu Kyi is a story that about the brutality of Burma. And she has basically been under house arrest for almost 2 decades. Now, recently in the past year, they have released her restrictions, and she's been out in the press more. Matter of fact, she got the journey to England the last couple of months. And she's just a remarkable lady, very much peace through strength. She is a remarkable lady. And the reason why we had Jim McNallis be our guest for it is he was granted an audience with her back in December. And he has created a great statue of Aung San Suu Kyi and wanted to share it with her. Matter of fact, he does have plans to meet her again at the end of the year, and he will be bringing the statue of the lady with him. And just as a piece of artistic integrity, some of the clay that the statue is made with is from the sands of Burma.
Okay, great. And Michelle Yao is starring as the lady in the film, correct?
That's correct. And what she did, she gives a remarkable performance. It's funny because Jim and I both kind of said, wow, in her younger days, she was known as Jackie Chan's sidekick. She became internationally known through a Pierce Brosnan, James Bond movie, Tomorrow Never Dies, where in her younger days, she probably could have just taken on the whole army herself. But that would be a very fictitious presentation. As the lady, she was she really just portrayed peace through strength. And she gives a very remarkable restrained performance, but very, very effective. I do hope that this film does not get lost in the crowd. She should be Oscar-nominated, really.
Is it going to have a wide release? Is it going to be out in theaters?
Sadly, I'm not quite sure what happened with distribution on it.
Okay.
Cinema Paradiso, Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, really wanted to bring this film out to let audiences be aware of the story of the lady. The director of it is Luc Besson, who did directed famous science fiction movies.
Fifth Element,
among them. And I think a lot of people didn't take his direction seriously, that he could do something this important and this dramatic. But I'm going to tell you, it's a gorgeous film. It's a very brutal film in what they present in the Burmese dictatorship, but it does show you the importance of the cause. And like I said, there's so many great elements about this movie. I really hope it does not get lost in the crowd.
Okay, and you've actually, we'll have to keep an eye out for that, but I wanted to say, you've actually chosen movies recently at the Palm Beach International Film Festival to be screened, and also as a jurist, you've picked some of the winners for some of the categories. What do you look for when a film comes in to know whether it's a good film or a bad film? Like, what are some of the criteria that you choose?
Well, you know, regardless of technical proficiencies, regardless of great acting, regardless of what celebrity they might cast in the film, you get right down to it, it's story. Story, story story? And beyond that, how effectively do they tell the story? Sometimes the short films, they try to put too much character and too much story into a short 12-minute subject, and it doesn't work. It gets overkill. One film that I want to bring out, and it's somewhat ironic, the first film that I selected for the best jury short subject in 2006 for the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival in 2006, and I was on the committee with Will Schreiner, who's famous for television. He directed Hoot, very well-known, very well-respected comedy director. He and I both picked the same film, and basically it's about a Spanish film. It's about a man in the bathtub for 12 minutes. It ends up in 12 minutes taking you on a journey from this man manipulating the whole situation into a very satisfying but dark conclusion. Now, the funny thing is you probably may not have heard of this short subject, and it probably got buried in the crowd because 3 years later, the number one box office motion picture of all time came out. Its title was Avatar, the film that won Best Jurist Award from the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival in 2006. The title of that movie was Avatar.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that.
I go by why Avatar still stands out to me almost 10 years later, is the fact that it told a great story, it told it effectively, and the three characters in there were just extremely believable. In 12 minutes, it had a lot of plots, twists, and turns. It was worthy of Edgar Allan Poe, and definitely try to track that down on Netflix. It's a fantastic film, short subject Spanish film called Avatar.
Okay, great. And you've gone to all these numerous film festivals, and you've seen crazy fans, you've seen diva behavior by these celebrities and the filmmakers coming in from all over the world. You've seen a lot of the good and the bad as far as behavior goes. What do you suggest a filmmaker, how should they act, how should they present themselves when they go to these events? What do you think?
You know, it comes right down to just being very nice to everybody. One of the things that I have discovered is I learned from the class acts. I think of Richard Chamberlain, who we interviewed, provided just so much information. You know, I was asking him where he gets his ideas and where he gets his research, and he says, I get it directly from the script. And this is Richard Chamberlain, who's been in the business 5 decades. He's imparting wisdom upon us. And plus, he was a very nice guy. I've seen people direct one film, attend a film festival, and act so pompously that people won't say anything to them to their face, but behind their back, or they'll go in the back room and say, God, that guy is a real, you know,
jerk.
You know, choice of word, but and it's amazing. It's not really what people say to you to your face in show business, but it's what they say about you behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to be very conscious of that. And also, one more thing I'd recommend is I've also worked with Spooky Empire as both a journalist and a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to emphasize to young people bringing in films is people do talk. Okay, and if you're a jerk from day one, everyone will know it, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're a real nice guy, I'm going to tell you, volunteers who are like the lifeblood of all film festivals and conventions, they will go 130% for people attending these film festivals. And I strongly recommend just be a real nice person, be interested in people, and also remember one more thing, that celebrities and filmmakers come and go every year at film festivals. There's usually the same core group of people that are home every year. We all get together and we see each other every year and we go, hey, Rachel, what do you think of this guy? Or what do you think of this guy? Oh, this guy's coming back. Oh, good, let's go out for dinner, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've interviewed a lot of celebrities through the years, including Faye Ray, Alice Cooper. You've met Jane Russell, on and on and on, Malcolm McDowell. Tell us a few stories about some of the people that are class acts, as you say.
Well, one thing about Faye Ray is after I interviewed Faye Ray, I've no longer been intimidated with interviewing celebrities. She was such a historical figure. She was one of the last actresses to work in silent films. And everyone knows her from King Kong. They all know her as the blonde that screamed in his arm. Well, I found out when I met her, I asked her, how does it feel to be history's first scream queen? And she shot me a look that scared me. I mean, if King Kong would have gotten that look, he would have put on an apron and done dishes for 2 months up in some banana tree. I mean, it scared me. It scared me. And she says, I do not like this at all. I do not like being known as a scream queen. Would you? I'm like, well, no. I'm a guy, you know. But she was furious, just furious. And then she kind of saw that I was kind of embarrassed and I upset her. And she says, but I've got to tell you a little story, young man. She said, when I went to England, I said, I wanted to get away from it all. Because after King Kong, she was in a series of 10 horror movies, one after another. And, you know, basically all they wanted her to do was scream. So she says, I'm going to London now, and I'm going to go do some serious acting roles. And she went to London. She showed up at the studio. They walked her into the soundstage and said, okay, Mrs. Race, please stand go into the studio, sit down, and on the count of three, we would like you to scream into a microphone. And she told the story to kind of loosen me up a lot, but she realized then that, you know, she could never get away from that kind of typecasting. So One thing I do hope we get out of this blog is Fay Wray hated to be known as a scream queen, and I think I owe it to Fay Wray because she was so incredibly nice to me to let the world know that Fay Wray did not like to be known as a scream queen. But
I know someone else that loves to be a scream queen and that you know as well. And who would that be?
Linnea Quigley, who, by the way, again, is a great example of somebody who you know in person who's so much different from the image that you have on screen. Linnea Quigley is one of the nicest people, and she's very good about working with independents. Now, she's worked in mainstream movies. She worked for John Landis in Innocent Blood. Her most famous role is the zombie. She does a striptease in the classic movie Return of the Living Dead. But she's just generally one of the nicest people, truly understands what ensemble means in working with castmates. She works with a lot of independent young people. As a matter of fact, I just saw that she's also co-writing with Michael McCarthy, who's written book Confessions of Scream Queens. And she's basically written, she's always been very helpful to me. I've known her for about 10 years. I don't think of her as Scream Queen. I just think of her as my neighbor, Linnea. And we've been great. We've had a great relationship for about 10 years or so. Just she's always been extremely helpful to me, been great interview. And I like to think I've given her the kudos that she's deserved.
And speaking of horror films, I know you were also in a movie called Corpses Are Forever, directed by Jose Prendes, who's doing The Haunting of Whaley House and is now next week going to be at Comic-Con. What was that experience like, actually being in a film?
Well, the great thing about Linnea, Jose, and I is we've known each other for 10 years now.
Yeah, Linnea was in that, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and also, matter of fact, the late Richard Lynch, who just passed away last month, he was top billed in that movie and was one of the producers of that film. The fact that we're still friends 10 years later, I think, tells you a lot about the business or the type of setting that is. Now, Jose, the great thing about Jose was he made that movie when he was in his early 20s. He's gone on to direct a couple of movies. He realized he wasn't going to achieve his dreams here in Florida, so he flew out to California with his wife, who he met on the production of Corpses Are Forever, Jessica Prendes.
Right.
And worked with some of the people there in the L.A., got part of the biz. He also has a spaghetti western right now.
Yes.
That's being optioned right now, and the star of that is Thomas Jane from the Punisher series and some cable series I'm drawing a blank on. He plays a male prostitute, Thomas Jane. I'll let you find that out for me. So he's met a lot of people like that, but he produced back in April or so, The Haunting of Whaley House. And that movie will be coming out.
I interviewed him, actually.
Yeah.
Show.
It's going to be coming out later this month, and I'm just really excited for him. We still keep in touch.
July 31st.
I'm actually helping him a little bit with the social media contacts with it, so I'm really just enthused to be a part of, you know, working with another Prentice production, even though we live 3,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just say nice things about each other and our family, you know. Maybe not, you know, maybe not publicly. We'll probably rag each other publicly, but privately we're, you know, pretty good friends.
And through all these experiences that you've had, you actually cataloged all of them into a book. You're a film columnist. You've been a film columnist for 13 years, and you actually put some of your experiences and your columns into a great book called The Adventures of Cinema Dave in the Florida Motion Picture World. And it's like, you know, you can kill somebody with this thing. It's like 600-some-odd pages. tell me a little bit about the book and why you decided to write it and what's inside.
Well, basically, it started off with me wanting to clean out my apartment. I had collected 10 years of movie reviews with The Observer, and I said, okay, let me get rid of these newspapers, and you know, and I'll just combine them all into one book. Well, writing a book takes on a life of its own. Truly, you know, Mary Shelley wrote about this in Frankenstein. Your creation becomes, you know, your boss. And what happened was, I ended up getting sidetracked with things, with hurricanes, with some family issues. People said they were going to help me. People didn't help me. And so I finally got the book published, and I had this whole promotional campaign. The promotional campaign went out the window. And I'm, like, right in the process right now of starting the whole promotional campaign again, except that I've got a problem right now with some crazy puppet guy who's trying to block the book from
yes,
being...
Yes, Simon the Puppet, the sinister Simon, that's something else, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I hope to have his fate be sealed by Labor Day, though, because I figure what would be a better time to take care of sinister Simon, the world's most notorious freeloader, than on Labor Day weekend. So stay tuned for that on the Cinema Dave YouTube channel.
Now, you're here on my show today, but you've been in radio in different aspects before. Tell us about your radio days.
Well, I take a lot of pride in the fact that I'm one of the last employees for RKO Radio, and mm-hmm. RKO Radio was a movie studio, and they produced such great films as King Kong. There you go, another King Kong collection connection. Then you also have Citizen Kane, some great Val Lewton horror movies. And my job in radio ended up being some man-on-the-street interviews, but I also ended up doing mostly promotions coordinator, where basically for about 3 years I helped be involved with budgeting and giving away over $100 million worth of contest prizes. And it was a great job in my 20s. I don't know if I could do it now at my age, but I'm really excited at the fact that in doing this I've still retained contact with a good buddy of mine, a man of a thousand voices, Robert Carter, who owns his own sound studio and has stuff, his music. He actually does some session work for people out in Muscle Shores, Alabama, and all across the world. And on October 13th of this year, we're having our first ever Waxy FM reunion at Seminole Hard Rock Cafe. Details mm-hmm. we don't know about, because one great thing about our past with RKO Radio 105.9 Waxy FM is our success was always improvising, getting things done when people said we couldn't do it.
And you also have a blog as well. Tell us about the blog, and it's been nominated several times for a Rondo Hatton Award. What is the blog?
Basically, the blog is cinemadave.livejournal.com, and basically it is where I post my movie reviews that gets linked into IMDb. I also shoot, mm-hmm. you know, the great thing about blogs is you can have a free-form structure with it. So I mm-hmm. shoot a lot of videos that I end up posting on my blog.
Mm-hmm. And, celebrity events and people, interviews, et cetera. There's a lot of different
yep.
things up there. Yeah.
And also, one of the great things that happened to me was Foster Hirsch is a regular interviewer for the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And I used to read his material. His books were assigned reading at Florida State University back in the 80s. I finally got to meet him on the night that I met Eli Wallach. And I had, of course, Eli Wallach's book. I wanted him to autograph. But Foster was surprised when I turned around and had his book, Film Noir, The Dark Side of Hollywood. And we've ended up hitting it off because, again, he's the master. He's a mentor, and I'm his student, mm-hmm. so... when he does interviews, I usually record many of them. And if you do, uh-huh. visit my YouTube channel, cinemadave.com, or Cinema Dave on YouTube, you'll see so many of the interviews that I had with Christopher Plummer. Well, I should say I had Forster Hearst conducted with Christopher Plummer, Celeste Holm.
Jane Russell.
Which was a phenomenal night in itself. But it was a Forster Hearst, but it was a phenomenal night with Jane Russell.
Yeah.
And the great thing is Forster Hearst is a veteran, and he knows how to get – you know, the great thing to learn from people like that is they don't go into the gossip. They don't go into gossip hearsay. They focus on the craft. They focus on the business, and they focus on relationships. And as a film reviewer, and I call myself a columnist more than a critic, I want to go into that. I rather, you know, to me, you know, I often say as a film reviewer or with my background in studying the arts and stuff, it takes a lot of effort to create a motion picture. And so, number one, I start off being generous to young people. The film can be bad, but if there's something redeeming in it, you know, I'll usually find that moment of redemption. You know, I often say that King Kong versus Godzilla was one of the most inspiration movies of all time. I saw it when I was 9 years old, but I got to admit, you know, it taught me so much about other cultures.
We're running out of time, but I want to give your website real quick.
Okay. For the book, it is www.adventuresofcinemadave.com.
Okay, and before you go, I just want to also mention that you spent a lot of time with your parents, and you've gotten a lot of your knowledge of old film from watching old films with them, and they just celebrated their 66th wedding anniversary. So I want to say congratulations to Jim and Mary, your parents, and I want to thank you for being on the show today, and hopefully we'll
bring you back.
Thank
you very much. I had a blast. I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, Cinema Dave.
Okay,
well, that was Cinema Dave Montalbano. He had a lot of stories to tell. He's met a lot of great people, and unfortunately we had to cut him off because this is only a 30-minute show, but it was very interesting to hear some of his insight into the film industry. And let's see, guys, I want you to go back and listen to all my archives from some of my other shows, all the different people I've interviewed. I mentioned Jose Prendes and The Haunting of Whaley House. I actually did a whole interview with him, so you can go back and you can listen to that at your leisure. I've interviewed a lot of other directors and et cetera as well. And my show here actually was just nominated for Women in the Arts, which I'm very excited about, as Best Show. And next week they're going to be voting, so I will have to let you know where you can call and hopefully vote for my show. That would be great. In the meantime, if you can go on Facebook and like my page for Indie Streak, that would be great. I'm trying to get more of an audience on that site. Just go to Facebook, type in Indie Streak, and you'll see the page. And I put up castings on there, events, different things that are going on, and it's very exclusive. I don't overpost. I try to keep it to a minimum and just put some of the better things up there. In addition, check out my other site where I have a lot of archives, here on blogtalkradio.com again, and it's /basics of the biz. And that's basically me talking about the film industry as an actor from my point of view, and things like headshots, resumes, classes, et cetera, et cetera. So if you are looking to get into the film industry, you may want to get some tidbits from that website. It's blogtalkradio.com/basics of the biz, based on my book by the same name, Basics of the Biz, through amazon.com. It's available. And I know I have a lot of links to mention right now, but also I have an additional website. I hope you're writing all this down, which is also called Independent Streak. It's www.independentstreak.ning.com. And on that site, I put up pictures of film productions that have taken place. I put up reviews, interviews, upcoming events, castings, etc. And that continuously is getting updated. So just keep checking back on that site as well. So I've given you a lot of information to hold on to. But my show is on Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I do interview people from all over the world. I've interviewed someone from England. I've interviewed New York, L.A., you know, here in Florida, you name it. So if you're interested in being a part of the show, please feel free to email me. My email address is Raven Prods. It's RavenProds at yahoo.com, like Raven Productions. And just let me know who you are, and if you, I eventually will need a bio from you, photos, stills from the set, something like that. I prefer to interview directors, but as you see today, I occasionally go off track a little bit and interview someone a little bit more on the periphery that also has a connection to the film industry. So it could be a writer, it could be a celebrity bodyguard, which I interviewed a couple of days ago, it could be somebody that has a lot of technical knowledge about the industry, or today interviewing Cinema Dave, who has a long history of working with the film festivals. He is ever present at the Palm Beach International Film Festival and especially at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. He is all over the place here in the South Florida area. And he also has his column with the Observer newspaper in addition to the blog that he mentioned. And he has a YouTube site, et cetera, et cetera. But he's met a lot of celebrities. I've actually been with him meeting a lot of celebrities as well. But he gave a lot of great information. If you missed any of the show, you can go back and listen to it at any time. And please let others know about this show as well, because as I said, it was just nominated for Women in the Arts, and there's going to be voting next week, so I'm very excited. But thanks, guys, for listening, and tune in next week, because you never know who I will be interviewing next. But I will be back, same bat channel, same bat time. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.